Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox. With me today is Jackson Lanning. Jackson is a former student of the LSAT Demon. Maybe we can start with the bottom line and then you can tell your whole story. Where did you start and what did you end up with?
Yeah, so I did, from my diagnostics test, I was about at a 155. I don't remember exactly what I had. From there, what I was coming into the actual program was I had about a 3.3 for undergrad, graduated and worked for a few years, but I knew that as I was applying to law schools, I really wanted to, as you know, it's kind of that magic number in the 170. So I took the LSAT first time, I believe April of 2021, I got a 163, and then I was going to take it again in June. I contacted a tutor who actually said that he had a 10-week program, but he said there's a couple guys who do YouTube videos that you might want to take a look at. So I had about 3 weeks until my next test at that point. I started looking at the YouTube videos for the LSAT Demon, and they were really helping. And so I signed up for the Demon itself. And sure enough, on the next take, I got a 167 before ultimately taking it for a final time where I got a 172. Attribute much of the success to both the lessons, the explanations. The Demon tool itself, I thought, was fantastic. But that's kind of the progression I made and the ultimate success that I had. Then ultimately, I'll be attending UVA School of Law in next fall, in August.
Nice. Okay, 155 ultimately ended up with a 172. So that's a 17-point improvement. And going to UVA this fall. Amazing. How long did you do the Demon and what level did you do the Demon at?
So I did the... I was looking at this last night. It's been a little while. So I was doing the, not the live version. I was doing the premium version. Yep. So with full access to the tools, the classes, but not on the live help. So, and I found that those things that were helping me was the access to that, you know, reviewing some of the lessons that you had. The other thing I'll shout out as well is the blog. I thought was immensely helpful. As you work through the whole process, I don't even know if that's a part of the actual subscription plan, but the blog itself, I also thought was great.
Cool. Okay. So you were at the premium level of subscription, $195 a month. Give some tips, like what did you do to study? What did you do to use those Demon resources? Were you doing full tests, timed sections, mostly drilling? When you missed a question, what did you do to make sure you understood your mistake?
Yeah. So I was kind of doing it, you know, as instructed in some of the ways where, you go through a time section, you go back to, I thought after I took it for the first time, you had areas that I knew that I was a little bit weaker at. So I wanted to review particular lessons. And with that too, you know, after reviewing these lessons and seeing the different approaches, your side was taking, I think with logical reasoning, especially it was kind of the attacking the argument and almost what you guys always describe in these explanations, like, yes, these arguments are stupid. You just need to find out exactly why they are. But so with that, it started really with reviewing the lessons that I felt I needed more practice on. And almost immediately I felt that I had these different ways to approach these problems that I hadn't seen before. And I was like, oh, you know, that actually totally makes sense. And so after working through the Demon and kind of seeing if I did miss a question, having a very detailed explanation on every single question I missed and seeing, you know, the flaws in the way that I was thinking where I was missing these particular points, that was helpful. And then once I got, you know, built up from the lessons to the Demon, then finally was able to take the time sections as well. That's kind of how I progressed. And then, you know, of course, practice tests and all of that. But I thought too, the ability to customize really what you were looking at, because I had used other study programs and seeing what those relied on, I was able to kind of shift around what tests I'd already seen, what, you know, potential practice questions I had seen. And so the flexibility of it all also made it completely easy to use. And ultimately, again, too, just the progress was pretty quick. But as well, too, you know, I was ultimately able to build up to that point where I did feel comfortable with everything.
Okay. So sounds like the lessons for you, those are available at the middle level of subscription, the premium level of subscription, you get access to those lessons. I think that those are most helpful for people who have already been doing some just LSAT practice. Like you've been doing some tests, you've been doing some timed sections, you've been encountering, you know, some problem areas. Really frequently, you know, that barrier, the 170 barrier, mm-hmm. really frequently it will be we don't like talk about theory very much, right? We're more like, hey, this makes sense. You got to read it carefully and make sense of it. But there are some areas of technicality that actually matter. And I think the lessons can be really helpful for getting you to dig into those. Like, for example, on the LSAT, there are two types of assumption questions. There's a sufficient assumption question and there's a necessary assumption question. And it's like, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody who was banging their head against the wall at 167. And they, and I would ask them like, well, is that a sufficient assumption question or a necessary assumption question? And they're like, sufficient assumption question. And I'm like, well, you're right. But I would like you to be a little more confident in that. And also, by the way, okay, so now that you know it's a sufficient assumption question, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
What do you do on a sufficient assumption question? And they're like, find the, you know, and it's like, okay, listen, you need a rubric, like you need a just elevator pitch, like 2 seconds. What are you going to do? Oh, it's a sufficient assumption question. I have to prove the conclusion of the argument correct. Boom. And when you learn that difference, or I guess another difference is the difference between flaw questions and weaken questions. Frequently, people don't get it that like one of them is describe the argument. You have to be able to prove that they did this thing that you're accusing them of. That's a flaw question. Whereas a weaken question is a lot more freewheeling, right? It's like, well, just which one of these five, if it's true, is going to put them in a bad spot. And that's so those finer points, those like technical things. See, this is not the thing that I think you should start at when you're at 145. When you're at 145, you need to read carefully, right? You need to understand what it says on the page. But when you're at 165 and you're wondering, man, what is, how do I, it feels like arcane and weird. Well, that's the point where, yeah, okay, maybe you want to dig into some of these lessons and figure out those areas of weakness.
That's kind of exactly where I was. And the nuance between the different parts, it was that I felt that your side had made it so easy to where, you know, I saw the issue I was making on some of these deeming questions too. And it was like, oh my God, I'm treating that like a sufficient assumption question. It's a necessary assumption or anything like that. Why would I do that? And then you guys kind of saying, no, see, this would be the right answer for this other type of question, but not right. Anything like that. And, but yeah, the, it was kind of like, once you got to that point to make that next jump, you needed that understanding. And
yeah.
The other thing too was, you know, I would always say, you think to myself, I think early in the process where it's like, okay, well, you know, I could get these wrong if there's, or I could get these all right if there's no time limit, but being able to, there is a time limit. It's a huge part of the test and being able to identify quickly, you know, draw back on some of that, the way you treat the questions quickly and all that. It's just, again, it's just becoming comfortable with it because as your side says, again, too, you can learn this test. It's a very learnable test and just that comfort level of it is so important. So I attribute, again, huge part. I know I'm kind of patting you guys on the back a bunch here, but I, again, I'm so happy with the kind of end result that I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. I mean, you guys you did the work, Jackson. It wasn't us. I mean, we're just explaining to you how easy this test can actually be if you put in the time and effort and, you know, have the right kind of help. You can realize, oh, this is, yeah, okay, that's what it says. This is what it means. And here's what they're going for on that type of thing. And you're right that the speed, you know, the speed, it doesn't come from trying to go fast. It doesn't come from managing your time or from any gimmicky kinds of strategies. You know, oh, you must do the first 10 questions in 10 minutes or whatever dumb. It's not about that. It's about knowing what the answer is going to be because you know what they're asking you. And then you can read like 2 words of a wrong answer choice and just know that it's wrong immediately. Like, oh, no, I see where you're going with that. And that ain't going to be it. So see ya. Right. And then it's just like becomes a fun, easy game.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, too, that was one of the pieces for me is, you know, talking to people when I was studying for the LSAT. It was like, you know, once I got, you know, with everything that you guys offered, I was like, I actually didn't mind studying. And it was like, you know, I was someone who was working full time too. And so when I was studying, you know, it was engaging. I felt that the questions and the responses that I was seeing and receiving totally made sense. And then, you know, it's helpful if you're looking at a response to your question, you see someone saying like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, you know, laughing in my room, like, you know, that's a refreshing kind of break from the monotony that can be the study. And I actually didn't mind studying at all. Once I kind of got in the groove of it, and I thought it was engaging, which is the biggest part. It's, you know, a lot of man hours are put in kind of on the side of actually studying for this thing. And so being able to kind of, you know, not look at it as something that you have to do or something that's really bugging you that you're going to have to do today. It's something that is engaging and you are interactive with.
You mentioned responses to your questions. Are you talking about the ask button or are you just talking about the written responses?
I was talking about the written. A lot of the written responses that are already there. And again, too, it's like for every question, a lot of, you know, services that you might have may have half the questions that have explanations for or something like that, or not all, or you're, you know, stuck Googling things to see if you can find any sort of explanation for it. And almost every question that I came across had a great explanation for. So that's always super helpful.
Yeah, that's great. Let me ask you this. How many, you know, there are 100 practice tests, which means there are 400 practice sections. You went from 155 to 172. How many practice tests would you say you did?
So I'd probably say I did around 85% over the course. At least I saw not all those questions. I'd say I saw questions from about, you know, 85 of 100 tests or something like that. So the actual percentage that I covered of what you guys had, I mean, I would say, you know, 40%, 45% of the actual available material of seeing, you know, granted, because you jump around a little bit and you touch a number of different tests for different things. Saw a lot of those practice tests, but no, the material, I mean, it wasn't like I was running out of questions at the end or anything like that on my third take. It was like, I still had plenty of material, even if I was going to take it again, which I wouldn't have, but yeah.
Even if people do all 10,000 of those questions, it's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You can get done with it and then just go ahead and start over, because there's still stuff you can learn from those old questions if you do run out. Nobody needs to worry about running out. But yeah, that's what I was going to say is like, yeah, okay, so about 40%. I mean, did you think about reaching for higher? Did you think about trying to take it again to beat your 172?
So I did after, well, I'd already taken it. That was my third time. So the big thing too was my timing wasn't the best laid out. And it was something that, you know, I kind of, I guess, signing up for your program a little late, didn't realize the importance of applying in September until I kind of, you know, saw the emphasis that your team put on it. And looking back, I was like, yeah, I would have adjusted the timing to allow myself to do that, you know, give yourself that much more of an edge and all of that. But, after I was taking the third time, I, you know, a part of me for pride wanted to, you know, reach even higher, because I felt that I was on this, you know, great track of momentum and all that stuff. But kind of where it was, you know, my application's ready to go at the beginning of October. I felt that I needed to get it out versus trying to reach even higher than that for that next level of tiering of scoring.
You're dying to get into the rat race, huh?
Well, I wanted to get the applications out and, So that was kind of the big thing. But I mean, it was one of those things that after I saw that, you know, oh, I had the 172, it was like, I feel that I could even, you know, stretch that, even go more, but I didn't ultimately end up doing that.
Well, I hope you don't regret your decision come September when you're fighting it out in your 1L year. It's going to be a grind, man. Everything I ever hear from 1Ls is just like, wow, I knew it was going to be hard, but I had no idea it was going to be that hard.
Yeah, I've heard the horror stories, unfortunately, but, you know, kind of know what I'm signing up for at this point.
Good. Good. Well, congratulations, Jackson. You killed it. That's amazing. Good luck at UVA this fall. I hope you'll keep in touch with us. We love hearing from our alums if there's ever anything we can do for you, networking or whatever.
Absolutely. And thank you guys as well. Again, so much gratitude for kind of allowing me to reach this level that I wanted to reach, and I'll make sure to touch base and let you know just how awful it is come September time.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. Jackson Lanning is an incoming 1L at UVA Law. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.